Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
Well, I guess that establishes who we are, but just to be redundant, Bob Williams and
hello.
I'm Jim Gerhardt.
And we are live from the New Jersey 101.5 newsroom, the brand new newsroom that opened up about a month ago. It's spacious. It's beautiful.
It is, really.
And welcome to all of our friends out here on Facebook Live.
And they say if you fall off your horse, what you do is get back on real quick.
That's
so we
it.
Tried this last week. This is kind of an experimental thing.
This is really nice, though.
But it's fun.
Yeah.
It is a lot of fun. And I do appreciate anybody who looked in. You know, I said Bob Williams and Jim Gerhardt. Next time we should say Jim Gerhardt and Bob Williams. Do you remember we had a team on the air here one time who did that? Because everybody, it was two girls. Well, actually, it's Brooke and Roberta.
Right.
But each one wanted to be first.
So they took turns?
And so they had a big legal pad. And
we say, Brooke, it's your turn.
Now it's Brooke and Roberta. And the next time you scratch it, and
Roberta
time,
and Brooke,
it comes
Brooke,
back the other way.
That's fine.
Yeah. So anyway, what we would like to do is to have your comments, questions, and we will try to respond to that as best we can. I think that would be the basic thing here. I wanted to do something right off the bat. Bill Spadia wrote a good piece, as he always does, about you. And you have to fill me in because I hadn't heard this. Tom Brady, the quarterback for the New England Patriots, wants to copyright Tom Terrific.
Oh, and that has struck a nerve with me and probably every Met fan in the area, and not only Met fans but football fans, because he is, I guess he's hated by a lot of people outside of New England, and for what he's trying to do now, it's just an obscene grab.
So
he's trying to trademark the Tom Terrific moniker that Tom Seaver's been known as since the 1960s.
But to me, it's the most egregious, ridiculous, almost obscene exercise of ego I've ever heard of.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you, Bob Williams, you could say, okay, I'm going to copyright Bob White. So every time a quail or a bird says,
they're going to owe me money.
They owe you money.
Yeah.
Here's my take on that. And this plays in with the Manfred, my dog. Mm-hmm. Now, Manfred was going to come in today, I promise, but he didn't because of another reason. I brought his likeness, and so anybody who's interested, you can see.
Manfred.
This is Manfred's likeness.
He's a good-looking dog.
Oh, he sure is.
Yeah.
Goes with the family.
But this Tom Brady thing, Brady is worth $180 million. His wife, Gisele Bündchen, is worth $380 million. Combined, that's almost over $500 million between the two of them, yet he wants to trademark Tom Terrific so that he can merchandise shirts and more stuff to sell on his name. I'm the first to admit, he's probably one of the greatest of all time in his sport. He's a fabulous athlete, over 40 years old, and he's still going strong. No slowing down for Tom Brady, but geez, I mean, come on. Tom Terrific? There's only one Tom Terrific, and we all know who that is, people. Tom Seaver, number 41.
Well, I got another one. What? That goes back before that, and it brings up Manfred. This is why I bring up Manfred. Now, we've heard of Manfred as Mighty Manfred the Wonder Dog. Mm-hmm. There was a cartoon. There was a series of children's books called Tom Terrific and Mighty Manfred the Wonder Dog.
Yes, yes. I was looking that up. That was back in the late 50s, right? A couple of years.
I don't know. Well, it was a little later than that, in the 60s.
Okay.
Because when I worked in New York one time at WNEW, I was working afternoon. So I had the whole morning to play with my kids. And we watched cartoons. I love the cartoons, which were entirely different. Children's programming then was cartoons. Now it's nonstop violence and fast cut stuff, so you wonder.
But you're absolutely right. Yeah. That is the original Tom Terrific.
Okay, so Tom Terrific and Mighty Manfred the Wonder Dog. Now that had to be copyrighted,
mm-hmm.
I would think.
You would think so.
So maybe somebody can use this and cut him off at the pass, this ridiculous
ego. Let's just hope it stops.
Okay, so anyway, that...
lots to talk about this week. Where do you want to start? And if you have comments out there on Facebook Live, we're watching our screen. If you have a question for us, we'll jump right to your topic. That's what it's all about. It's interactive here on New Jersey 101.5's Facebook Live.
You know, speaking of the cartoons, just an aside here, and then I want to talk about your event that you had over the weekend.
Right.
And I wonder how much effect this has on the current generation and some of the stuff that's going on. The children now, if you turn on the morning television, and it used to be Sunday mornings, and every morning they had kids shows.
Right.
Well, at that time, the only violence that I can ever remember was when Quick Draw McGraw did his changed into his superhero El Kabong.
Right.
And he hit some malcriant over the head right. with his kabonger, which right. was his guitar.
Or he was rescuing Baba Louie.
Yeah,
right?
Now instead of 1,000 people wiped out, you know, like yeah. kids watch now with some death ray or other coming on, all you got was some guy sitting there with a guitar around his neck. El Kabong yes. kabonged him.
That was a great time when they had the Saturday morning cartoons, that whole block of programming.
And I wonder, and again, I don't want to go down this path. Someday I do and probably will. But I've had a lot of time to think. I got nothing much else to do. So, and I can think while I'm riding my lawnmower, so even the things that I do. But you get the violent cultural influence. I would think anything a kid, I think public television has a couple of kid shows on, but they're becoming very politically correct. Mm. But otherwise, in the other, the violence in these cartoons yeah. are ridiculous. So you get kids who grow up on that, and you add to the fact that the food chain is poisoned.
Right.
I'm not surprised that everybody's yeah. crazy on a college
campus. Are you a SpongeBob guy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's probably a throwback to the old days,
Well, you have to search for it now, try to find SpongeBob. Yeah. Okay, now let's get to something a little bit more serious. Oh, and thanks to the people who said hello, really.
Brian V, thank you.
We do appreciate that. And again, if you want to think of something...
anything of topic we've been talking about on the radio this week, you didn't get a chance to call into one of the shows, bring it up, and we'd love to discuss it with you. There's lots going on.
Yeah, I'm not doing the morning show anymore, I don't like to be tricked into thinking like I used to be, like Bill does now. Right. He can't get out of it.
But anyway, we rely on you. Yeah.
Now, you had a big event that was last weekend came off extremely well.
Yeah, the Celebration of Life for the New Jersey Sharing Network, the organ and tissue organization. It was great. I had the honor. I didn't know when we did the show last week at that time. They asked me and my donor, Kim Rumus, to sound the horn to start the walk. And that's why you saw that thing on the website that I was on stage making some comments in front of the crowd. And it was a very, very humbling and very, very... emotional experience there. It was a great event. 10,000 people. I mean, it is a sea of love and emotion.
10,000 people?
10,000 people. Wow. These are all teams made up of the families of deceased donors that have left their organs for others to be transplanted, living donors, their families, hospitals that are involved in this throughout the state. It is a major, major event, and radio station was right there, and I'm going to be there for the rest of my life. I'm committed to that organization.
Which is going to be a long time now. Yeah.
Yep.
Listen, I just wanted to mention to people, I keep looking here. We're looking at a screen that has your comments on it. Douglas Matthews, who was the person before who simply wanted us to mention that he had called in to say hello?
Brian V, I think.
We'll find out, but thanks.
Yeah.
Douglas Matthews says, God bless the veterans from World War II and the D-Day invasion at Normandy. True heroes of the greatest generation.
Oh, my gosh. That is just 75 years.
You know how refreshing this is? 75 years, If we were doing this, I guess, at the right place, especially at an educational institution, it would be about the D-Day in Normandy and the old heterosexual white guys who were there.
But, so I mean, just hearing all the news reports from that day, from all the old CBS guys, Douglas Pierpoint, and all of the colleagues back in the day, they hear that the Allied forces have made the beach at Omaha Beach. And, you know, you look at the pictures, and there's no words. It's unimaginable of what those people did. They saved the world, Jim. And
that, you see, I wish people would understand that, what they had saved the world from, these old white guys. Now, this is, I'm not trying to demean the African-American or the minority troops in World War II who were capable of equal heroics, but at that time, with discrimination, they were mostly assigned to service units. So it's surprising if you look at the statistics, the deaths, overwhelmingly white. And this is not because there weren't very brave people. We get the airmen, the Tuskegee people, and that is a good example, but they were few. Most were put in service units, so they were not, and through no fault of their own, you know, in frontline service. Some were.
And if you can imagine those transports coming up on the beach and it opens up and you've got to get out there and get in the water and make your way on the beach and to the unknown. How many thousand died that day?
Oh, gosh.
It's just unimaginable what they did for us.
The president and the president of France and some others are speaking today at Normandy. And I was amazed. They were telling about how many millions of people are showing up for that. So in spite of what you get in the media, that being a patriotic person or recognizing this thing is déclassé now, and they're trying to change history, wipe out anything that's inconsistent with the advance of the loony left. In spite of that, there are people who are went way out of their way to get there, first of all, and who are celebrating that.
You know, and what makes this anniversary of D-Day probably more special, the 75th, is that you think about all the veterans that are still survived. They're well into their mid-90s, so this is probably going to be the last major marking of an anniversary that these gentlemen, these fine people, are going to be with us.
You know,
so that we can thank them in person.
Again, to take a look at this from a little different perspective, is that if these people had not sacrificed their lives or been willing to, those who didn't, and won the war, in this country there would be no minorities.
Right.
Because it was the stated purpose of the enemy to
the
get
Aryan
rid of
race
all
would
race.
Be the only surviving
yeah,
race.
The Aryan race would be the only surviving race. And by now, and I wish people would look at that and be grateful rather than disparaging the people who actually did it.
Yeah. And if you're not educated on the D-Day, I strongly urge you to find out more through books, through videos, through documentaries, and then you can really have an appreciation for what that generation did. And there's no doubt they were and they are the greatest generation, Jim.
Hi, Tony. Tony Gallo says we must protect the citizens in New Jersey from the current political machine that, in my opinion, is very dangerous for our family's safety and security. Absolutely true.
Any ideas how to do that?
I can add to that.
Yes.
Well, this is the apparent. I was talking to Bill Spadia this morning, and I said, Bill, you know, have you run across anybody in the few years you've been doing this who actually listened to you and started using their head? I never run across that very much. I used to come in the morning. I'll tell you how this is. How difficult it is when you're trying, especially just to point out simple things, how people can take something of their life back, and especially through the GRIP voting that we talked about last week. And I would come in, and about 3:30 in the morning, we went on the air at 6, and I would picture I had a rutabaga, a giant turnip, on my desk, and I would prepare as if I had 4 hours to convince the rutabaga that it had a soul. And I don't think I ever did.
Tough nut to crack there, bud.
Yeah, in that particular time.
But I'll tell you, and the primary just passed, and the turnout was not that great. I think it was like around. Hey Dan, do we have stats on the turnout for the primary? About maybe. Oh, Dan's going to look it up.
Dan Alexander
Dan Alexander.
Dan is a great news writer. I sometimes marvel at how good some of these
people
are.
He was honored as a Town Square producer of the year for news content. And,
well, he certainly should.
You know, we're just very blessed to have Dan on our team. But I think the total was about 12%.
Uh-huh.
Give or take
percent. That's big here for
Let me
talk to Daniel Gilbertson. Hi, Daniel. Yeah. Daniel says, fighting Germans and Jim Crow. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Marylander, Waverly Woodson Jr. was among black troops in combat on D-Day.
Right.
Yes, yes. I think what I said is true. There certainly were lots.
Yes.
But by and large, if you look at statistics, that for example, when I was in the during the Korean War, which was a little bit later, but I was aware, you know, of World War II at the time, and later there were certain ethnic people who, if you saw one in the military, he was a cook or a steward to a higher officer, and people were kind of categorized like that, and I do not recall at the time there was any particular slammer. It was just the culture of the time. So if you look at the statistics of battlefield casualties.
But we had contributions from all
people. Well, of course, of course. Yeah, everybody. So, yeah, it's a good day to remember. But I think you're right. When you get the left's attempt to wipe out any history that contradicts or is not in total concert with their whatever the ideology is. And what is I saw one more recently, they want to change the names of all institutions, buildings, and streets that were named before a certain time in history.
Yeah.
Everything will be changed. So our children, our grandchildren, will probably, if they dug this up, if an archaeologist happened to drop into an old radio studio that was covered with whatever it is to see how people lived, they would not recognize it. So
an amazing, amazing day, and let's not ever forget that.
Oh, he was referring, okay, with that particular soldier to a Baltimore Sun article with that headline.
Yeah.
Well, what else is going on?
Also, it was 13% of the total voters. 13% for the primary.
I'm surprised at that, really, for a primary. Yeah. I got my primary.
Now, did you have anybody running unopposed?
I had nobody running I'd ever heard of. And there was no public question. I didn't vote.
People
appointed it.
And we mentioned it briefly last week, but it's a shame that people don't take more advantage of the primaries, because this is where those are the elections where the change begins, where you start primarying and putting people against the incumbents. That's their chance. Now, I mean, the ballot for November is pretty well set. Unless somebody's going to come in as a third or fourth party.
It's going to be rare if anybody comes in outside the establishment, because the parties pretty much control the spending.
And from what I've heard this week, a lot of people are very disappointed in how the Republican Party is not really, they don't have their act together as far as...
to say the least.
Right. Bill took a call from a 25th Assembly candidate. I think his name is Brian Bergen, out of Denville, and he's running in the same district as Tony Bucco for Assembly. And Bergen had said that the Republican Party, their priorities are not focused on getting help down to the lower level candidates so that they can get the grassroots movements to get themselves together. It's a real shame that they can't get out of their own way, the Republican Party here today.
And
I've also heard that they're in danger of, you know, a couple of counties that have been traditionally Republican could be switching over to Democrat, like maybe Monmouth County, you know, longtime Republican.
The Republican Party has lacked any kind of a charismatic leader.
Yeah.
Well, you could argue about Governor Christie in the beginning, but go back to Governor Kane, really. Yeah. It's been pretty drab.
Yeah. So, again, if you're just joining us, it's Bob and Jim on Facebook Live. And if you have any comments about any news of the day or the past several days this week here in New Jersey or in the world, you want to make a comment, we're looking at our screen. We're watching the scroll just like you are. And we're going to try to get to as many of your topics as possible until about 11 o'clock this morning.
Okay, let's go to Brian V. Brian says we should talk about the gas tax hike. No one really fought back on, and just let the politicians do it. And the tolls, I notice a lot of people in New Jersey will complain when prices go up, but they never use their right to protest. Well, Brian, you're right on. I don't know why. We talk about that a lot. We have talked about it a lot here. I do not know why.
Well, we just came back from a vacation down the southeast, and we drove up from Florida. And driving through all these states, you really realize how big this New Jersey gas tax is. I mean, the gas price here in New Jersey per gallon is at least 20 cents more than the southern states, Georgia, the Carolinas, even Maryland. I think our gas is like about $2.90, $2.95 a gallon average. I mean, I think I paid like $2.65 on average, and that's a real stark contrast.
There was one bright, almost a Camelot moment in New Jersey history. Go back to the early 90s, the Hands Across New Jersey movement. This is during the early part of the Florio administration when the taxes were raised, and some ridiculous taxes, a tax on toilet paper. I mean, right away, that's fatuous. A group formed called Hands Across New Jersey.
I remember.
And they were actually, it was formed by a mailman and a housewife. John Budzash and Pat Ralston.
Yeah.
And they had this league organized, and politicians were scared. They were shaking in their boots because people all got behind this. And it actually did change the legislature in the next election. The Democrats were out. Republicans were in. Christie Whitman became the governor. So it was a change. It was a Republican change, a sea change in the political climate in New Jersey. But what happened was business went on pretty much as usual. And even though they were voted in, they found out very quickly that a politician, when his job is threatened, all they have to do is hunker down, because the people are going to get tired before they do. That's their career. The rest of us have real lives.
Wear everybody else out.
And so trying to keep pressure on a politician is like having a tug of war with a Rottweiler. You get one of these ropes with a knot on the end. He gets one and you get one. Right. Well, you're never going to win.
No.
He'll die pulling on that rope. And you're going to have to, go answer the phone or do something. But they found out. And then, of course, the same things occurred. Nothing really of any consequence changed.
Yeah.
And so I think the people saw that in a certain degree of futility, because a lot of the enthusiastic people at that time had rather, I guess they burned out their enthusiasm, seeing, why bother?
Right.
And it seems to me that's kind of the...
And to finish up Brian's comment, he said a lot of people here in the state will complain when prices go up with the tolls, but never use their right to protest. And that changed
the outrage kind of
with the advent of the Easy Pass and the electronic toll collection. Any government agency can raise any toll on any highway, and you're not going to feel that instant pain because you have to dig a little deeper for an extra dime or quarter at the toll booths, at any of the crossings or on the highways, because it's not affecting you right then. You don't feel it or notice it until your statement comes in. Your electronic Easy Pass statement comes in once a month. And that's why. So, because what? The tolls at the Hudson River crossings are $16, $17 right now, and the Verrazano's up to $19. Mm-hmm. You don't feel that when they add a buck or two, because it's not the instant outrage that it used to be. Jim, when they raised the toll on the parkway years ago from 25 to 35 cents, I remember very well those delays at the toll plazas were at least a couple, 3 miles as people are digging. Oh, I didn't know it's an extra dime. And some people were protesting. They'd pay in pennies. Pay 35 cents in pennies, and it would take for each of the pennies to go in, and it would back things up for miles on the parkway. So that's your outrage. That's why it's not there anymore.
I would like to know why people lost that. And everybody puts up with anything that goes on. I mean, the property taxes, of course, is a great idea. You could do something about that. Or the people again, collectively.
Right.
They could end that.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait till August. I get the August surprise. My reevaluation of my property taxes, surprise, it'd probably be an extra $1,200, maybe more. Can't wait.
Well,
right in the middle of summer, can't wait.
One reason is the property taxes, I think for more people than not, maybe, who have mortgages. And if you have a mortgage, the property tax is included in that. You budgeted for that, or you expect that, or you have accepted it.
Yeah.
And you don't notice the property tax that much until suddenly you pay off the mortgage. And every 3 months, you've got to trot down with thousands of dollars that you just spent the rest of the 3 months trying to amass together.
And a lot, and people will feel that because the banks that hold the escrow for the mortgages, they collect more money in advance so that the bank can pay your taxes and your sewer on your behalf with your mortgage. But if you're holding your own, you have a little bit more control, I guess.
Diana Gerace says, state of sheep. Sorry.
I like
sheeple.
That's
sheeple. In the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, sheeple appeared this year. And that describes, it's not just New Jersey, it seems to be the whole country. Why would the Democratic Party, which is a large party, done many very honorable good things, why would they suddenly throw in the towel to some 20-year-old twit from New York who's now running the Congress, who's barely literate and certainly very ill-informed, who essentially is like a puppet for a millionaire, a billionaire, who's actually calling the shots, but everybody just said, oh, well, yeah, and they throw in the towel. I changed my registration.
You did?
I went from a Democrat back to undeclared.
Okay.
I don't want to be a part of that. It's just disgusting.
And imagine, with her campaign, it was only 14,000 people that put her in office.
But everybody's scared to death of her.
Yeah.
Nobody will stand up.
14,000 people.
But, of course, if you do stand up, all hell breaks loose. Everything comes down against you. There is
a psychologist
named Jordan Peterson. Have you ever heard of Jordan Peterson?
No.
Many people have it. Lou, have you heard of, you know, Jordan Peterson? And Jordan Peterson is currently the archdemon for the left. And why did he become the archdemon? He was a professor of psychology in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Toronto passed a law outlawing gender-specific pronouns. He came out publicly against it. And
so no more he or she?
But the point is that he was rejected as a speaker at Oxford University in England because of that. And everybody's coming down. I noticed that Google, if you go to Google now, they come up with, if you can't hit it real quick, what you want to look up, they come out with a news thing. Every day they're doing something to bash him. And so they seem to feel that this man is so dangerous because he expresses a counter political correctness point of view that they got to nip him in the bud. But the whole weight of media and everything comes down on the opposition. So people are intimidated out of it. Okay, Daniel Gilbertson. Daniel, hi. Is it possible that a number of state employees and voters who don't pay much taxes exceeds the number of voters who do? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. If you don't have a vested interest, not vote for more taxes?
This is taxpayers versus the tax consumers, the tax eaters.
Right.
Yeah. And if you want to know where a lot of that goes, I'll recommend this highly. And I wish people would do this. There was a great column in the Jersey Journal. This goes back a few years ago. And Steve Malango, who's a great writer for them, and also he writes for the Star Ledger. And it's called The Mob That Whacked New Jersey. And it's, I think it's 7 pages. It's short, but it delineates beautifully how the public workers, unions, and employees have taken over the government. And it was easy to do. I don't fault them for it. They only took what they were given. But in return for keeping the political people in power, they were given all kind of entitlements and favors. And they end up running things simply because of their buying power. Money's everything. There was a program on the History Channel, back when the History Channel actually ran history programs, instead of the Dingleberry Dynasty and Mississippi Chicken Chokers, a bunch of hicks running around with bibbed overalls through the woods looking for a giant gerbil or something.
Yep.
But back then, and it was about the U.S. Treasury. And it started off, the opening line was, money is the measure of all things in America. And it is, and it's gotten more and more like that.
But
so Daniel, you are probably correct.
And how do we resolve that issue? The voters, the people that pay the taxes have got to become more of a majority in the voting booth. There's no other way that it's going to happen. People have just got to get rid of their apathy and stop thinking that, oh, my vote doesn't count. Well, darn it, it does count. Every vote counts.
But you have to want it to count for something. I don't think people even think about that. What does this vote mean? Abraham Lincoln once said that in this country, a vote is as good as a bullet I think he was talking. There were used to be some small Latin American countries in which they'd elect every so many years a president and then 4 vice presidents. Because they assumed that 3 are going to get knocked off somewhere in the process.
Okay.
It's in the 50s is when public employees were not allowed to strike until I think into the 50s. Then they were given that right to do that, and the game was over right then because there are so many. And like any institution, they become institutions. They become giant corporations.
Right.
The unions in New Jersey, the public workers unions, I got to know the heads of a good number of them when I was on the air. Great people. I liked them very much. I had a lot of respect for them. But they were only doing what the president of another corporation would do, is get as much as you can.
Yeah.
So there you get institutions and huge ones. For example, education. Once it is unionized at all levels, the number one item on the agenda is the perpetuation of that institution, and the welfare of the people who work there. Somewhere down the line, stuffing knowledge into the heads of the kids may pop into the hierarchy.
Right.
But it's way down there somewhere. Okay.
So, yeah, we're almost out of time, but...
Really?
Hey, I just want to...
We haven't talked about the governor yet.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to bring him up.
Okay,
hey,
good.
congratulations to Governor Murphy. He has just been named Governor of the Year by the Bio International Conference, the Biotechnology Innovation Organization. Now, these are the people who...
Well-known, a household word, right.
For all of his efforts in providing scientists and researchers with all the resources they need to succeed in the biotech industry here in New Jersey.
Which is what? The pharmaceutical industry?
Probably, yes.
who spends a fair amount of money on a political campaign.
I was talking to you before we went on Facebook Live this morning. The governor is being feted as Governor of the Year by that organization. Let's make a list of the organizations that will not be honoring the governor as Governor of the Year. Where are we talking about? Well, the NRA, right? He will not be Governor of the Year there. The Pipeline Association, Jim?
Oh, yes.
Yes. And what else we got? Oh, the Right to Life Coalition. He's not on their hit parade. And, New Jersey Transit Commuters. I don't think that they're going to be electing him or nominating him for governor of the year anytime
soon. I don't know if there's an association, but people who do not think this should become a sanctuary state.
Yeah, that's another
bill.
And how about all the people in favor of legalized weed? Boy, they should be very angry. You voted this guy into office, and he fell apart on you, and he reneged on his campaign promise to make weed legal here in New Jersey.
When is the next time that comes up?
I'm not sure. I think it's done for the year, at least, right?
So here you have all these people in New Jersey. They're waiting. They're sitting around. They have the newspaper over their head.
Yeah.
And they were ready to light up.
Darn the luck.
No pot. Yeah.
So, this is Facebook Live, and we're here Thursdays at 10:30. So tell your friends. We'll be around. What else we got?
And I would say that if you saw this and said, I didn't talk about anything I was interested in, that's up to you.
Yeah.
You tell us.
You drive the show. You drive the program.
You can drive this, and we're asking you for your input.
Absolutely.
So it's a lot of fun, and I hope we can kind of keep it that way. So thank you. Thank you very, very much, everybody. And think about it, because next week, if we're invited back, one never knows about that.
It's a week-to-week thing.
The first word we get when we get through here is leave your name and address with a girl at the desk. Don't call us. We'll call you. So we will see.
Yeah.
And Manfred says hello. Manfred will be here next week.
Yeah, that'll be great. Okay.
Bye.
Thanks.
Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.